The sermonette this afternoon is titled, Can We Be Trusted? Can we be trusted? How highly do we value a confidence? How deep does our loyalty run? Can we be trusted? Can we be relied on to keep private information to ourselves? Do we conscientiously guard the personal secrets that others may confide in us? When family, friends, or work associates bear their innermost feelings and seek our advice, do we resolve to keep it quiet? On the other side of the coin, how many friends can we trust with our deepest secrets? Can we be open and honest with them about personal hang-ups or problems or frustrations and know that they will not betray us? Or do we fear that such information could be passed on to others? It can seem hard at times to find people that we can really trust. And we hear gossip and rumours so much of the time. Loyalties seem to be betrayed today in society with reckless abandon. Now, I'm not raising this at this feast site because I think we have a particular problem with anyone here. Well, at least I hope that's not the case. But at the end of the age, this problem is prophesied to happen. And it is a quality that we need if we are to be part of God's ruling kingdom, which we are all aiming to be. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but you might like to make a note that in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 4, and I think we've already looked at that this feast already, it states that in the last days there will be slanderers, those without self-control, and despisers of good. So we know that as we are at the end of this age, these things must happen. But we must not be found guilty in this area. Why are trusting friendships so scarce in the world today? A principle may be the loose tongue syndrome or the callous disregard for the reputation of other people. It can seem at times that we give little thought to the damage that we inflict on people when we gossip and can therefore besmirch their good names. Remember that it takes years to build up trust and only seconds to destroy it. Let us read Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19, where we see those things that have God's total and complete disapproval. And that's putting it mildly. Let's read Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. The Bible is very clear on this matter, or these matters, and doesn't pull any punches at all. It says, Proverbs 6, verse 16, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. God here is quite specific about what he hates. He hates a lying tongue. He hates those who sow discord among brethren. He hates a false witness who speaks lies. Another reason why some may be prone to break confidences is that they may not have been taught from an early age the importance of protecting friendships. It's maybe how they were brought up. We may all have been exposed to one degree or another the occasional, or in some cases the frequent, hypocrisy and cynicism of our parents and close relatives who may have gone on about the mistakes and the foibles of other people in the family, maybe even about friends, maybe about neighbours, even other relatives. Thus, if this happened in our family, we may have unconsciously absorbed the gossip habit, into our thinking processes. How very important it is that we teach our children, or for the older ones amongst us, that we have taught them to be faithful to the trusts that are placed in their care. to view them as a cherished obligation. This, of course, refers to the moral obligation that our children have, and indeed that we have, of protecting the privacy of others. Of course, I would just hasten to quickly add, not to hide any serious or immoral acts that would need to be reported to the authorities. One of the most destructive sins is exposing past mistakes that people have genuinely repented of, or of weaknesses they are striving to overcome. Probably nothing is more humiliating to a person who is genuinely repentant than to have his past life brought up and discussed by others. True friends will not spread vicious rumours and divulge confidences. It just won't happen. Those who have been ordained to the ministry do have to have the quality of being trusted when members talk to them about all sorts of things. It's something that I take very seriously, and I'm sure all ministers do. But it is a requirement for each and every one of us without exception. It just doesn't apply to the ministry. We must not be given to gossip. That's not to say we can't pass on interesting information about others, as I did in the announcements this morning about seeing Mrs. Cartwright and so on, passing on information about others. But I'm talking about gossip. We must not revel in advertising sin that others commit. We must not betray the trust of someone who, maybe ensnared by some evil habit, cries out to us for help. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends, states the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 16, verse 28. Such indiscriminate mouthings don't serve the cause of peace, nor do they build bridges of goodwill. Indeed, they sow seeds of discord and create division. And the one thing that we don't need in our church is division. God commands us to speak evil of no one. We must try and make the theme of our life one of true and dependable friendship. An excellent example of just how highly trustworthiness is valued can be seen in the screening process that the United States of America has in their Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. When a person is in being considered as a prospective agent, everything about his life is examined. His background, his hometown, his habits, his known friends, his acquaintances, after-work activities, and more, much more. Every detail is taken into account. And though a candidate may be found to have good character and reputation, if he cannot maintain a trust, if he habitually divulges confidential information, that person will never be appointed as an agent. On a grander scale, God is also looking for men and women who allow his Holy Spirit to develop in them. Even higher standards and attitudes are required. Respect and fidelity are among the highest quality of character that God requires of us. He treasures it. If you'll turn to Psalm 15, and let's read the first five verses. Psalm 15, starting in verse 1. Notice here the description of the kind of person who will stand before God and be blessed. This is what we have to strive for to make it into God's kingdom, which this Feast of Tabernacle represents and it pictures. Psalm 15 verse 1 says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Are we striving to become this type of person? We all need to deeply examine our attitudes. Are we guilty of the very thing that we may distrust in other people? Is it possible that the suspicions we often insinuate stem in part from our own guilt feelings or our own tendencies to participate in rumour spreading? Let us all search our own hearts. Can we put others down simply to minimise our own shortcomings and lift ourselves above them? Of course, there is a proviso, as I mentioned before. We should not nor ignore or condone any wrongdoing. That is, we should not try to protect people who are guilty of illegal acts. Even more important, we should not conceal the actions of a brother who is sowing discord among God's people and trying to divide the flock. I recall the story many years ago, and I didn't find out till afterwards, that there was someone in our local congregation, and I'm talking about probably 35 years ago now, who made the observation to another member that he was there to cause trouble. Now, why that member didn't report it to the ministry at that time, I have no idea, but he did tell me afterwards, long after this man had gone. But why would somebody do that? Well, we know that there are tares amongst the wheat, and obviously that was the situation there. But let's search our own hearts and make sure that we are not guilty in any way, shape or form. And we've seen quite a bit of that activity in the last few years. True, faithful friends are priceless. The Bible commends the brother who loves at all times and the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And you might like to make a note of Proverbs 17 verse 17 and 18 verse 24, which you can look at later. The Bible points to the friendship between David and Jonathan as a sterling example of unfailing loyalty, of what friends should be like. And that's in 2 Samuel 1 verse 26, if you just want to make a note. That friendship was so unshakable that they would have given their lives for each other. Can you imagine either of them behaving to one another like Judas did, betraying a secret or a confidence or spreading vicious gossip? It just wouldn't have happened. What can be said of us in the way that we treat our friends? Can we also be trusted to carefully guard a confidence and to faithfully uphold someone's honour? The greatest example of true friendship and devotion in the entire universe is God himself. If you'll turn as a final scripture in this sermonette today, Hebrews 4 verse 13. Hebrews 4 verse 13. The Bible here tells us that all our faults and secret sins are open to God's view. He knows us through and through. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Yet God, who is love, plainly reveals that he does not talk about our sins when we repent. And that's in Ezekiel 18 verse 22. He forgets them in his mercy and casts them far from his presence. In stark contrast, of course, Satan is exactly the opposite. Our great adversary constantly gossips and accuses us before God day and night. And we know he is a liar whose primary aim is to destroy our character and make sure that we don't make it into the kingdom of God. It behoves us all to make sure that we are emulating God and letting him create his faithful character in us. If we're not on our guard, we'll find ourselves often serving Satan and doing immeasurable harm to other people. As we serve God and draw close to him, let us strive to honour our neighbours and develop friendships based on loyalty and on trust.